Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good steward of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, please help us this morning. Lord, we are but people in need who are leaning heavily on your grace to understand more and more what blessings look like in our life. Lord, we are people with insecurities and uncertainties. And Lord, if we're honest, the call to hospitality seems a bit much, Lord, but we know, Lord, we know that you bless us because, Lord, you model hospitality for us. Lord, that you call us into a blessed life. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You know, I think especially in Reformed circles, churches like Christ the King, we want to be really careful when we talk about this idea of God's blessing. We want to be careful. We want to be biblical in everything we do, but I think sometimes we are timid when we get around conversations around things like blessing, because we see this idea of blessing abused so much in our culture. We may hear pastors on television say, if you want to be blessed, then you need to give our church a certain amount of money. We may have heard others say, I'm working so hard for a blessing. I'm searching for a blessing. I need a blessing in my life so that I can do X, Y, and Z. And so I think sometimes that causes a fear in us to really know that our God is a God of blessing, that our God gives freely to us. One of the things we talked about last week was Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, short verses. Let brotherly love continue, much like our verse today. Keep loving one another earnestly. Verse 2 of Hebrews 13 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, we talked about this last week. We said that last week, this does not mean that we go out and find someone on the street and just bring them into our house and feed them dinner. And then hopefully we'll see an angel. It's not saying that you're going to get your angel. It actually points to two stories, one in Genesis 18 and one in Genesis 19. In Genesis 18, it's a story of Abraham where three men come to his home and he shows them great hospitality. He provides for their needs. At the end of the story, they pronounce that God would give Abraham and Sarah a child. They turned out to be angelic beings representing God himself. In Genesis 19, Lot in Sodom invites these two men into his home. They happen to be angels. He doesn't know it. And over the course of a day or two, they warn him of what's to come in Sodom. They protect him and his family as he gets ready to flee Sodom. And so they entertain angels unaware of what they were doing. This is not so that we might see angels, but what this passage is showing us is that we will receive unexpected blessings as we show others hospitality. See, I think a lot of times we focus on the fact that we've got to do something in hospitality, but a lot of times as we extend hospitality, there are blessings that we receive, not necessarily because of how good we did it or how great the meal was, or even how great we felt about what we were doing, but there are unexpected blessings that accompany hospitality. In his book, The Hospitality Commands, Reverend Strouch points out that many times Jesus was the guest, and he had a habit of blessing people. I love this beautiful idea that hospitality invites and welcomes friends and neighbors and maybe even some strangers, other brothers and sisters in the faith that we might just meet. And while we focus on blessing them, so many times they wind up blessing us. You know, I'm a believer that all truth, if it's really true, It's God's truth. I believe it flows from the scriptures and it points us back to the reality that God is real, that his son is Jesus. I believe that all truth is God's truth. And so it shouldn't surprise us that the world we live in can actually see the power of hospitality, and it can also see the blessing from it. I think probably more than any other time in my life, our culture is focused on hospitality. And if you ask people why they do it, so many times what you will hear is, it just feels good. It feels good to open up our home, to welcome people, to cook for them, to really get to know them. And so even someone who's not walking with Jesus can see that there are blessings in hospitality, blessings in opening up our home and our lives to others. Now, that being said, the blessing of God through a ministry of hospitality finds its foundations not in our actions of hospitality, but in the hospitable presence of God who calls sinners to repent and calls his children home to eat at his table. That's what we talked about in week one. As we engage in biblical hospitality, our actions may produce temporal blessings, but the eternal blessing of God is only because of the finished work of Christ on our behalf. However, there are real, temporary blessings in this earth, or on this earth, blessings of deeper friendship. You know, I know the more that we open up our home to people over and over again, friendships develop. We find out new things about people. There are also blessings of connecting with other people. Guys, it's okay that if you make a friend and that friend connects you with a job opportunity and you get a new job. That is a tangible blessing of hospitality. Now, don't do it for the blessing. That's called manipulation. Manipulation is very different than hospitality. And so we want to be mindful to let God work in hospitality as he has called us to it, not to try to get something out of it, but to bless. And so that's Hebrews 13 points us to this reality of God's blessing. Now, going back to 1 Peter, where we're going to spend the bulk of our time today, what we see here in 1 Peter is actually a cycle of blessing. It's actually a cycle of blessing. Now, keep in mind, this is not a chicken or egg question. This is not one of those questions where we wonder, well, if we do something first, then do we receive blessing, or exactly how does this work? It's not that question. Our actions of blessing don't happen without the blessing of God in us and through us because of Jesus Christ. But here's what we see in 1 Peter chapter 4. We see that, firstly, we bless others. Verse 8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is where we're forced to see the depth of our love for others. Hospitality is where we are forced to see the depth of our love for others. Love will show its depth when we are sinned against. Yet, when we earnestly love our brothers and our sisters. In a church community, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. If there's not sin that you have to forgive or be forgiven of in the church community, it's too good to be true and run away. There will be arguments, there will be disagreements. Hey, we're taking up a building fund. There will be people on different sides of different things. But Peter tells us that we bless others, that when we feel sinned against, when we feel offended, that we might love one another more earnestly, that we might show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is really hard for me, because when someone sinned against me, when I'm not feeling particularly lovey in the direction of a certain person, the last thing I want to do is to show them hospitality. In fact, in my sinful heart, I want to withhold hospitality. Because withholding hospitality means that I can have this power over people, that they wonder whether or not they are liked by me. You see how our hearts work. You see the necessity of what Peter is telling us. that above all, we must keep loving one another earnestly, because this love covers a multitude of sins. We bless others with our hospitality. It's love in action to those who maybe even have sinned against us. It's a high and a difficult calling to bless others in God's church with hospitality sometimes, yet we are called to it. We see this cycle of blessing where we bless others. What we also see in 1 Peter 4 is that after we bless others, we are blessed. Now, it's not a you show hospitality, you are blessed, but it's this beautiful reality that we are blessed. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, this is a spiritual gift, use it to serve one another as good steward of God's varied grace. He equips all of us in different ways for His glory, for the good of our church, for the good of our souls. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies. So we see this picture of two examples of how we are blessed. We have received gifts. Some of us have received gifts of evangelism. And so we find ourselves always sharing the gospel. It comes easy to us. Some of us have received the gift of prayer. Some of you blow me away with how you are so faithful to pray and believe God, and I need you. Some of us are gifted to teach and preach. Some of us are gifted to show hospitality, even though we're all called to it. We're gifted in these various ways, and we are blessed. We are blessed because we have the Holy Spirit of God who has given us blessings, who has given us these gifts that we might be a blessing. We bless others. We are blessed. And then we bless God. In verses 10 and 11 that we just read, we use our gifts to bless God. Verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, sometimes the Bible is wonderfully logical. If we go to Psalm chapter 1, which many of you are familiar with, verses 1 and 2, it's this beautiful picture of what it looks like to live the blessed life and what it looks like to not live a blessed life. Psalm 1, 1 through 2 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night." There's this picture of walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffers. For us to ignore the commandments in the Bible to show hospitality to one another is to do this. But our delight is in the law of the Lord. We meditate on it day and night. As we meditate on the Word of God, we will see this beautiful hospitality that we started with 3 weeks ago. That God welcomes us, that God gives us what we need. You know, as we think about this cycle of blessing, that we bless others, that we are blessed, and that we bless God, I want to take two quick practical examples in the life of the church where as we are being a blessing through hospitality, we also receive a blessing. The first is this idea that hospitality, it actually fights against loneliness. Let's take this scripture in 1 Peter and think about the opposite of what would happen if we didn't follow, or if these people in northern Turkey didn't follow what Peter asked them to do. When he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, what if they decided not to? That when they were sinned against, they decided to manipulate the situation, overlook people, use the power of withholding hospitality from them. Since love covers a multitude of sins, well, there's no opportunity for that if we're withholding hospitality from them. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. There's a lot of grumbling and not a lot of hospitality. I think what happens is loneliness begins to creep in. Someone who is sitting in sin in the midst of persecution in 1 Peter, no one showing them hospitality, no one engaging with them because of their sin, yet we want sinners, we want the broken, we want the needy to be a part of what God is doing here because we want to be a part of what God is doing here. We are broken, we are sinners, we are needy. This person and others are not using their gifts that they have been given. Loneliness will come. There was a study done by the Center of Cognitive and Social Neuroscience at the University of Chicago. I talked about this in RUF this past semester. In a book called Loneliness, what they found is that they found higher levels of epinephrine, the stress hormone, in the morning in the DNA of lonely people. Here's the excerpt from the book. Loneliness burrows deep. When we drew blood from lonely adults and analyzed their white cells, we found that loneliness somehow penetrated the deepest recesses of the cell to alter the way genes were being expressed. Loneliness affects not only the brain then, but the basic process of DNA transcription. When you are lonely, your whole body is lonely. When we withhold hospitality, we encourage loneliness. When we encourage loneliness, we encourage a spiritual depression among others. But the opposite of that is when we show hospitality. When we encourage hospitality, when we seek after hospitality, our innate desires for community begin to grow and explode. Think about it. On my phone, I have an iPhone, and it comes with certain apps that you can't get rid of, certain programs that you can't get rid of. No matter what we do, we cannot remove it. Every app is written into the DNA of the phone. We can move it around, we can put it in a folder where we can't see it, but we can't delete it. And it's there by virtue of the Creator that we begin to realize that God has put a desire for community in each one of us. If we seek and desire to be a community that shows hospitality, we will explode with people who desire community. If we don't desire to be a community that seeks to show hospitality, we will miss the blessings of God in this community. Hospitality combats loneliness and brings community, not just to those who are in the most need, but into all of us. What we begin to realize is that we need those who appear to be the most broken, that we are more fully ourselves as Christians in the context of the local church when we show hospitality to those who don't have it all together, that God will use that graciously and wonderfully to bless us. You know, I think also hospitality can also be a blessing internally as we struggle through maybe our assurance of salvation. I'm going to read Matthew 25, 31 through 40. It's a little long, so bear with me. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. When I was a kid, I hated passages like this. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." And then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of My brothers, you did it to Me." Hospitality can be a means of grace that God uses to build our assurance of salvation. In various times of our life, we are going to doubt. Our faith is going to be assailed. It's not going to be strong. But our faith is not, the quality of our faith is not the strength of our faith. It's the object of our faith. And the object of our faith is Christ and Christ alone. Yet we can receive assurance as we look in our life. Am I hospitable? Now, I may not have the biggest house and I may not have the best skills in the kitchen, but am I hospitable with all that God has given me? Maybe you feel really awkward, yet every Sunday you come to church and you say hello to one person and you welcome them back. That's powerful. People will come back no matter how awkward you feel or uncertain you feel because of the hospitality you showed them on a Sunday morning. When you're struggling, when you're doubting, see that God is at work in your life. We can grow the assurance of our salvation as we see how God is making us more hospitable people. Hospitality does not save us. Jesus saves us. The works of hospitality do not save us. Jesus saves us. But those works can build our assurance. That is a blessing that God has given to us. You know, I think as we consider these blessings, finally, we've got to think through practically what these blessings do in the life of the church. And just a couple of notes and we'll finish up. The first is this. If we are a church that is blessing others, that is seeing the gifts that God is giving us as blessings and blessing Him in worship, then we will be a church where hospitality will drive church planting. Church planting is starting new churches. Our churches will grow as we show hospitality. Little bits of hospitality, opening up our homes, bigger events, worship every Sunday where we create not just an environment, but a culture where others are welcome, where they receive the gospel. Our churches will grow, and we will actually begin to see the limitations of our homes. Because as church grows, we can't fit everybody in one home. We'll begin to see a need for us to expand, to go and plant other churches. Hospitality in the life of a community will drive us to a greater vision of both church planting and establishing homes for where we worship. You see, over and over again, you've heard the elders of this church say, the building is not the mission. The building helps to facilitate what God is doing. And so I love this picture of our building not being the mission. And I love a picture of hospitality being a big part of what God has called us to. Hospitality will drive church planting. It'll drive missional living. Hospitality will contribute to a healthier church. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. You see, when you show hospitality to others, you will get to know them better. And you will realize that they have needs. If we are a church that shows hospitality, if we bless people with our hospitality, we will be blessed because God will give us opportunity to use our gifts in the lives of other people. There may be someone who is lonely. We will bless them with community. There may be someone who is mentally struggling. And because of our hospitality, we will see that. And because of our hospitality, we will have equity with them that we can come around and love them and get them the help that they need. Those who are hurting emotionally, we will hear those stories as we show hospitality and be able to enter into their lives. Hospitality will contribute to a healthier church. And then finally, hospitality, it'll make outsiders become insiders. What does it look like for you with the times and the talents and the treasures that God has given you, with the giftings that God has given you as a Christian? What does it look like for you to pray that through hospitality, God might make outsiders become insiders? Maybe you host a Bible study at your home. Christianity Explored is a great resource where you can share with others about Christianity. It's a program where you can watch videos and read different things and listen to different things and share the gospel with others in your home. It can be something like that, explicitly inviting them to a small group, or it can be gospel-centered lives in the lives of other people. You know, hospitality and the blessing of hospitality, it only finds itself in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ as we embrace the gospel that welcomed us. God calls us to be a blessing to others. He calls us to do that because He has blessed us so deeply. And that brings us right back to our knees that we might bless Him more and more. You know, now it's our turn to be hospitable. Maybe you find yourself saying, I just can't do it. Here's a bit of practical advice, and then I'm going to pray. Go buy a crock pot. Go buy a pound of beef, ground beef from the store, some canned tomatoes, some seasoning, some beans. Put them in the crock pot before you leave home to come to church. Go buy some bread on the way to church or on the way home. Invite some people over. It won't be the best chili you've ever had, but it'll feed a lot of people. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You bless us so much. Lord, thank You that this church is a blessing. Lord, thank You that You're at work here. Lord, thank You that You have given this church a vision, Lord, not just for buildings, Lord, but for mission. Father, I pray that we might be known as a church of great hospitality. Lord, that those that are feeling lonely would find places, Lord, to be blessed by those who have to give. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that, Lord, hospitality does not depend on circumstances, Lord, that Your blessing, God, does not depend on circumstances, God, but that we are people who are blessed. We love You and we thank You. Hear me pray. Amen.